What's up, guys? Welcome back to Yankees Unloaded. I'm your host, Gary Sheffield Jr. As you can see, Jake Ellenbogen is again out. I believe he will be back later this afternoon for Saturday afternoon's game. So good news there. But nevertheless, we have a game to discuss. I'm recording this actually in the wee hours of Saturday morning. Game finished a little bit too late, so we're going to record this for you. We're not going to miss an episode. Yankees lose 7-6. Very tough loss. Obviously pretty disappointing. Some crazy stuff happened at the end of this game. Of course, we're going to discuss all of it, but we have to discuss the details, how we got there. Luis Gil, 5 full innings, 5 earned, was not sharp in this one. Most often when we say he's not sharp, he's walking a ton of guys. No, it wasn't the case. Only had 2 walks, gave up 2 homers. The rest of the bullpen, Marinaccio, Dennis Santana, Ferguson, Holmes, and then, of course, I won't even say who closed the game. We'll discuss that later. But the bullpen was pretty much shut it down. No one really gave up much. They were excellent. Not surprising at all. Matt Blake has pretty much gotten a ton out of very little. They've been very good. On the other side, we've got Rhea, who pitched 6 innings. They touched him up a little bit. He had some good numbers this year, ERA around 2. Tagged him up, 5 runs, all earned, in 6 full innings. Again, bullpen kind of shut it down. We're not really going to get into the details of Milwaukee's bullpen unless we get there to October. We are not at that situation right now. We're in April, so we're going to skip that. But offensively, this is where the game got a little crazy. Joey Ortiz hits his first career homer for Milwaukee, helping them get out to a lead. Blake Perkins, his 3rd career homer, his WAR kicking up to 1.2, if that number means jack to you. Juan Soto hits his 7th homer of the year, keeping up his hot hitting. Verdugo, bat is heating up. 3rd homer, Trent Grisham, the shocking offensive performance of the day with a 3-run jack, his first hit as a Yankee. And then this is where the trouble hit. Aaron Judge, huge double play ball. Juan Soto gets on base and ahead of him later in the game, rolls into a double play. His offensive struggles have continued. We thought we were over the hump in that series earlier on in Oakland. Was not the case. Is he healthy? Is he not? We'll discuss all that. But then this is where the game gets heavy. Top of the 10th inning, Giancarlo Stanton does not have a good career offensively. Talking about pinch hitting, he comes through in the 10th inning. And he hit that ball about 1,000 miles an hour. For anybody who watched that, it was really cool to watch. Unfortunately, in this one, Joey Ortiz, the name comes up again. Walks us off in the 10th inning off of, and here's the name I wanted to withhold earlier, 34-year-old right-hander Michael Tonkin. Are you shitting me? Are you kidding me? And I know people want us to discuss this on this channel. What happened? What went wrong? Is Boone a buffoon? We're going to dive into it right now. They didn't want to use Clay Holmes for multi-innings, and rather than guessing why that would be the case, I figured that it would make a lot of sense for us to wait until post-game where Aaron Boone can give us an explanation, and then we'll deliver that here on the channel, to which Aaron Boone said that Clay Holmes did not want to use Clay Holmes for the second inning because he was on pace to pitch 80 games this season. Now, we have to remember that on this show, we have to be fair. And I think first and foremost, I think fairness is the most important thing because we don't want to be hypocritical on this show. We have to remember that Jake and I both said prior to the season, the most important part of this year is where we're getting our innings, but also not overusing the bullpen. And I tend to agree with at the surface level of this decision, not to burn out Clay Holmes, because Clay Holmes has been one of the only guys who's been steady at the end of the bullpen. And we don't want to mess that up because, lo and behold, if this Yankees team has a closer who's not finishing off games, this team is in trouble. They're not scoring consistently. One day they'll give you 8. The next day they'll get shut out against the Oakland Athletics. This team is struggling offensively in terms of consistency. You want to make sure the back end of the bullpen is right. And yeah, to Boone's point, pitching Clay Holmes for an 80th appearance, it sounds ridiculous to throw a guy 80 times, and you know long-term that's not going to be successful, yeah, it's going to potentially change decisions you make in April. So that said, Michael Tonkin was the decision that you brought up. That's the guy that you said, you know what? I don't want to overuse Clay Holmes. Let's go use Michael Tonkin. And for anyone who doesn't know Michael Tonkin, we very well could have a young audience or someone who is very young that is watching our show right now. Michael Tonkin was drafted in 2008 in the 30th round. His career RA is 4.5. His ERA this year is 5. He has no business pitching the 10th inning for the New York Yankees. So we have to address the options that the Yankees had. The options were this. There were two options. They could either use one of our bullpen guys, you know, whoever, take your pick, and pitch them multi-innings earlier in the game. Like, we're talking early, before Clay Holmes ever gets out there. Or they could call somebody up having known we're not comfortable going multi-innings with Clay Holmes today or anyone else. That was your decision. Now, they decided not to call someone up. And rather than pretending that Aaron Boone is the Wizard of Oz and he can predict the future, I'm not expecting, no one here on this show is expecting Aaron Boone to predict that this game's going into extra innings and he's going to need multi-innings. But having said that, you can't come into this game where Weaver has just gone multi-innings. You don't feel comfortable bringing him out there. You don't feel comfortable going Dennis Santana multi-innings because he doesn't really do that. He hasn't pitched well in multi-inning experiences this year so far, so no reason to test it. Ferguson hasn't pitched well in any outing, so there's not really any reason to go multi-innings with someone who's not pitching one inning well. And then you just told me that Clay Holmes couldn't come out because he's pitching too often. Well, having said that, if you know that going into the game, somebody should be getting a call-up. Maybe not Clayton Beter or one of your top prospects. Hell, I don't care. Somebody. And it can't be Michael Tonkin, because Michael Tonkin was never going to work out. Let's be clear about that one thing. So I want to make sure that I address that right off the rip, because people were going to be asking us what we thought about this, and not just complaining, but actually offering a solution to the problem. I felt like Aaron Boone over the course of the season has done a very good job of acknowledging the elephant in the room, which was the Yankees were relying too much on their bullpen in years past. Maybe it's worked in the regular season. It sets this team up for failure in October. This team has aspirations to win in October, so they can't shortcut the process just throwing Clay Holmes out there for 2 1/3 or whatever, however many innings it took last night. So let's be very clear. We wanted to make sure we address that so that we can move on with the show, where we have to address Aaron Judge. We need to address Austin Wells' bad luck. And then, of course, last but not least, we'll end the show with Anthony Volpe and his lack of discipline. I've mentioned it before. We're going to touch on it into detail. But first, Aaron Judge, he was slid into the DH spot again. Thankfully today, or I guess we should say on Friday, we had some solution, which was, who was it? It was freaking Grisham. Grisham was not, I literally had to look up his name at this point. Trent Grisham was not someone we were expecting to be an impact offensively, but you have to remember Aaron Judge's health. He just turned 32 yesterday. Aaron Judge needs to stay healthy. The Yankees' priority is that. They spent $360 million bringing him in through the door. You have to keep him on the field. And by doing that, you take Giancarlo Stanton off the field, regardless of his production. And thankfully, Giancarlo had an impact later in the game. And, you know, it obviously wasn't enough as the Yankees lost 7-6. But yeah, you're talking about a guy who's ice cold, who's going to be plugging the designated hitter role, at least in the short term, until he's right. And right now, he's not that. He is not hitting. And I know a lot of people have mentioned the fact that he did not have a spring training, but we're talking about being, you know, we're 20, 30 games into the season. We've seen enough baseball, and we played indoors yesterday, so the weather is not necessarily going to be enough to give a guy a pass for not performing. He's just flat out not hitting. And of course, he's paid to do so. He's paid to hit in April. I know we don't want to read too much into someone hitting a buck 80, because, you know, 2.5 months from now, he could be hitting 275. He's backing Juan Soto in the lineup. We're talking about Aaron Judge, all rise. We're all forgetting everything of which happened in April, but we are in April. So we have to discuss what's happening. It's been a bit disappointing. And frankly, you know, it's losing us games. And Aaron Judge is going to be a huge part of the solution down the stretch. We know this. But again, just because you're part of the long-term success and the solution doesn't mean that you're not part of the failure, a huge aspect of the failure in April in the short term. So we had to bring that up. It's been a roller coaster of a ride. So it's been pretty disappointing. But we'll move along to Austin Wells. Austin Wells has been a tricky one because Jake actually has brought up on our show plenty of times that he really believes in Wells. And I said at the beginning that I didn't really believe in our catcher's room altogether. It really wasn't, I'm trying to pick on Austin Wells or anything. It's really not that. It was more so of, I wasn't sure what I was going to get offensively out of that bat. And then of course, I think most people had question marks defensively. Well, Austin Wells has been pretty good defensively. He's thrown the ball pretty well. He's played pretty smart. He's called really good games. I mean, no question at all, but his offensive numbers just have not been there. So when we look at his numbers, I mean, Austin Wells is hitting .128. He is not playing well. I mean, the other day he had two hits. He bunted for one of those hits. I thought it was an excellent adjustment to see. I really liked what I saw. But what was so interesting is the takeaway on Wells is that he's hitting the ball hard and it seems that he has atrocious luck. He's hitting the ball. He's hit the ball over 95 miles an hour 9 times this year, to which zero, you're hearing that right, were hits. That seems like some aspect of bad luck. We have to acknowledge that. No question about it. You'd think that hitting 9 balls on the screws, something good would happen. Nothing good has happened for Austin Wells. But having said that, when you're hitting .128, the job is not simply just to hit the ball hard. The best example I can give, we can use my father, Gary Sheffield Sr. We can use Tony Gwynn. Now, these are two different style hitters. One hitter is trying to essentially evaporate the baseball, doesn't really care where it goes. And frankly, he gets his hits one way. And then you have Tony Gwynn, who was not known for hitting the ball exceptionally hard. But one thing is for certain is every year, it just so happened that Tony Gwynn was never unlucky. He wasn't hitting the ball 97. He wasn't hitting the ball 112. None of those things that you see Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Ronald Acuna Jr., all that contact you see them making where it just lights up the stadium, how hard they hit the ball. Tony Gwynn wasn't doing that. Tony Gwynn was finding holes. It was part of his execution as a hitter. Now, is some part of hitting luck? Sure. Absolutely. But another aspect of hitting is reading the field and having an understanding of where you can hit the ball in the field. And that's another aspect of hitting that not a lot of people are addressing. You cannot simply chalk up hitting .128, hitting .128 on the season and saying, yeah, it's just simply a case of bad luck. I don't believe that. I think that at the very least, it's bad luck in terms of storytelling, because I can tell you right now, if maybe three or four of those balls hit over 95 fall for Austin Wells, we're talking about a guy who's hitting, you know, close to 200. We're probably not freaking out about his start. So yes, some aspect of bad luck is killing Austin Wells, but at another angle, here's where the positive side comes in. And this is where I'm going to transition eventually here to Anthony Volpe in terms of plate discipline. Take a look at this. We're talking about the on-base percentage of Austin Wells. Austin Wells is getting his walks. His on-base percentage this year is .308. It's almost 200 points higher than his batting average. That is a professional hitter. All of hitting is not hitting the ball. Hitting is also deciding if in this at-bat, I need to swing the bat. That's another huge aspect to hitting, and it's another huge reason why Juan Soto was such a big addition to this team, is he showed other hitters you don't always have to be the one to do the damage. You don't. Someone else can be. It's a less selfish approach, and Austin Wells has proven that he can get along with that program. Once the ball's starting to fall, he starts to make some adjustments. That on-base percentage should creep into the mid-300s, hell, even maybe the high 300. So we're talking about a really solid offensive player who needs to still make some adjustments. The game is not just simply, well, I hit the ball 98 in that at bat. So, you know, mission accomplished, and I guess I'll just tee it up next time. No. You need to figure out ways to get on base. He's doing that by way of walks. He needs to figure it out in terms of where he's executing and hitting the ball on the field. I know, again, some of it's luck. Some of it is not. Some of it is lack of adjustment. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Austin Wells can do long term. I don't necessarily right now have any doubts he can. I really think he can. Of course, he's going to battle because Trevino is hitting the ball very well, and he's going to struggle to get on the field. So, but I do think overall he's going to get his opportunity. Jake, I know, is going to be very happy to see that he's going to get that shot. And I think that he can have some success. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. That play discipline has been excellent. But moving on in terms of play discipline, Anthony Volpe has been an issue. A big problem. Huge. Some people, and a lot of people discussed with myself and Jake on our show in the comment section and mentioning, and we did this and we covered it, that Anthony Volpe is hitting well enough to get a promotion to leadoff. And some people loved it. Some people hated it. Some people said, yes, he's hitting like a leadoff hitter, but putting him at leadoff puts unnecessary pressure on him. And to which I said, he's a grown man, and to which he is. He can drink. He can do whatever he wants. He can rent a car. So this dude, he's a grown man, and he can deal with the pressure of hitting ahead of Juan Soto and Aaron Judge in the lineup, and he's proven that he can, at least in the short term. But let's be very clear about something. The judgment on Anthony Volpe is that he came out in the season. He was slid down in the lineup. He was pretty much hiding down there in the 6th and 7th spot. He was raking, and then he kind of tapered off, and he's trying to find his way again. That's the assumption about Anthony Volpe, to which I actually bite back against. I do not agree. I don't think that's true. In my opinion, the difference between Anthony Volpe in the present day and the Anthony Volpe on opening day or in spring training, whichever you want to talk about, is that when he's hitting in the 7th spot, guys were throwing him strikes. That was essentially the takeaway. They were throwing him strikes. And let's be very clear, Anthony Volpe on pitches inside the strike zone right now, he's still getting his hits. In his last 5 games, he's hitting over 300. So he's not struggling to get on base. But here's one thing that's glaring. His inability to walk. Anthony Volpe is not walking. In spring training, spring training, he walked 4 times. We're talking about 60 at bats. He walked 4 times. And I know you don't want to practice walking during spring training. Guys want to get their swings, they want to get their legs up under them. You want to get on base, see if you can steal second, get it all figured out. All the feelings of that makes complete sense. But when you watch some of the most professional hitters in baseball during spring training, they're bringing all aspects of the approach of baseball to spring training. They are taking their walks. Guys like Juan Soto, they're taking their walks. And you watch Mike Trout. Mike Trout is going 0 for 2, 1 for 2 in spring training and taking a walk. Now, he's not just taking a walk because guys just don't throw him strikes. No, there's some aspect of I need to practice good habits going into the season. Now, that's poor practice, having 60 at-bats, and at no point you could walk 5 times during the course of that spring training. That's just not going to work. So you'd probably say, okay, that's a short sample size, no doubt about it. It's in spring training, nothing to write home about, so let's move on to the regular season. Anthony Volpe, so far, we're going to talk about his career, not just 2024. In 716 plate appearances, Anthony Volpe has walked 62 times. He's struck out 191 times. That doesn't work. When you talk about a leadoff hitter, we have him at leadoff because that batting average, he has the potential to creep that up, right? He's got the legs to steal 70 bags. No doubt about it. I think we all can agree he's the whole package. He's got it. But some aspect of this game is mental. And some aspect of that promotion to leadoff is mental. Having someone at leadoff, they need to be able to deal with the responsibility of knowing when and when not to swing the bat. right now, Anthony Volpe is struggling in terms of not just getting hits. He's getting hits. He's struggling to make decisions of when and when not to swing. That's his issue. The best example I can give, 2 days ago, they're playing Oakland. He has a 2-0 count against Alex Wood. You would obviously say in this situation, this is a hitter's count. Well, this is not an opportunity to take liftoff and make it a 1-0 game. Juan Soto and Aaron Judge are hitting behind you, okay? Juan Soto is hitting. He has one of the hottest bats. He's leading probably right now the AL MVP race. You cannot put yourself in a situation mentally, just mentally, to think that you need to do damage in this count. No. You need to get a pitch in the fat part of the zone, and if it's not there, you cannot be swinging. So long story short, he gets a 2-0, 88 mile an hour forcing fastball more than a foot inside, and he is swinging. That is just unacceptable. It doesn't work. Now, again, can you point out situations where pretty much every player in Major League Baseball is going to swing at a pitch that they otherwise shouldn't have? Absolutely. But given a situation with a player who frankly has been getting touched up around Major League Baseball, he's not really overly deceptive in Alex Wood, ERA over 7, didn't pitch well, and you're going to come out there and you're going to swing at a 2-0 fastball, a foot and a half inside. Part of that is, you know, simple mistakes. And then another aspect of it is you can't just chalk it up to that. It has to be approach and being unwilling to go out there and walk. So when you look at that on base percentage, you know, you're talking about a player that's frankly, he's just not like he's not committing to all aspects of hitting. So I think that's my takeaway right now on Anthony Volpe, is that he's hitting just fine the same way he was at the beginning of the year. He's just not getting as many pitches to hit. And that makes a lot of sense. You are the leadoff hitter. There is a huge voter responsibility. And so now that he has that, I need to see Volpe take the next step. When he does that, the Yankees are going to be off and running. I don't have any doubts about Judge long term. He'll be fine. But Anthony Volpe does have something to prove. Can he win at this aspect of hitting? If he can, the Yankees should be a problem. So we're going to see later this afternoon if the Yankees can do that. You know, we've got the top of our rotation. We got Rodon on the mound, Stroman the next day. The Yankees are starting to tee themselves up for an opportunity to hopefully win this series. We don't know what they're going to do. We have an idea of what they're going to do with this rotation and not the bullpen. We should see Weaver for potentially multiple innings. You never know what Rodon will give in terms of length, but yeah, Weaver's going to be available. We probably expect not to see Holmes later this afternoon, but we're going to see. So hopefully, I guess the goal is offensively, if this team can score, that's all that matters. I'm guessing Aaron Judge is going to be back in center field. Giancarlo will be out there again. So hopefully we see some scoring. If you guys like this video, please make sure you like and you follow Yankees Unloaded on all platforms, and make sure you hit that subscribe button. Appreciate you guys.